You are being influenced. If you've watched any blockbuster film in the last decade, then chances are that it's been influenced by the Chinese Communist Party. Here's the reality. The CCP is running the largest influence campaign in history. In Hollywood Takeover, brought to you by the Epoch Times, investigative reporter Tiffany Meyer reveals how the CCP has infiltrated major studios. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
A record $9.25 million to more than 300 protesters who were injured by Philadelphia police during demonstrations following the murder of George Floyd. These graphic events played out on both I-676 and West Philadelphia's 52nd Street corridor. On the highway, multiple people were tear gassed, and at one point, three demonstrators were sprayed at very close range in their faces by former police officer Richard Nicoletti, who was later arrested and charged with assault.
It's racist.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
The absurdity of being the subject of police brutality during a protest against police brutality was not lost on us.
Protesters were tear gassed and also hit with rubber bullets while officers tried to stop the looting of several businesses.
We believe that today's settlement represents a long overdue and frank recognition of the stark violence that police inflicted on West Philadelphia residents and protesters. The settlement also recognizes the continued significance of the calls for racial justice and police accountability.
City of Philadelphia has settled with the Black Lives Matter protesters that they had to remove from blocking freeways that attack police precincts. The damages, they were hit with pepper spray, and some that were looting businesses were hit by rubber bullets. And the city has now turned around and paid them out. Reparations already started on the East Coast. This is not going to end well. The swell of outrage will reach its tipping point. You know, this starts out in Philly. It climbs the mountain. Every climb up the mountain gets us closer to the tipping point. And this is tipping point climbing. And let's go back, though, to what the two-tier justice system, and it's so obvious. So obvious. January 6th investigation, right? U.S. Attorney, District of Columbia, he's a former advisor to Biden's presidential campaign. Imagine that. Sent a letter to the chief judge of the district court warning up to 1,200 more individuals could face charges off January 6th. This is additional to what they have already done. Up to 1,200 more additional charges. And before January 6th, if you were a politician, You could actually go in front of a microphone and call for mass protest, and people wouldn't be saying you're calling for violence, right? And Trump, we know, he didn't encourage people to behave violently, but it probably wasn't a good idea, a little unwise, given the current Gestapo at the DOJ and the FBI to not ask your supporters to protest a potential arrest that could possibly be coming up. Here's the latest that we do know on that.
The grand jury was notified that today's 2 p.m. proceeding was canceled, and they are now on standby for tomorrow's planned session. We know that one final witness was set to testify. Two sources familiar tell Fox News, though, that the abrupt cancellation of today's grand jury proceeding comes amid, quote, major dissension within the Manhattan DA's office. One source claimed that Bragg is having trouble convincing the grand jury of potential charges due to the, quote, weakness of the case.
Protest, protest, protest. If Trump supporters came out and shut down D.C. freeways and attacked federal courthouses and police precincts over the upcoming arrest of Trump, do you think a few years later that they would be sending checks to him? and apologizing and saying the police behaved poorly. I can't believe the video that I saw. There were people sitting down cross-legged across a freeway, blocking an ambulance, somebody that has a heart attack, a pregnancy, needs to get to the hospital, people that need to get to work, air traffic controllers that are late for work. Somebody has to fill in for them and they're sleepy and a plane crashes. Okay, you see where we're going with this? We need the freeway open. So did they bring out German Shepherd dogs and bite them out of the way? No. Did they use stun guns on them? No. The officer that got fired that you heard there in that TV News Philly report there, he was spraying them with pepper spray. Get up. He wasn't touching them. He wasn't billy clubbing them. He was going, shh, get off the freeway. What do you want to do? If it's not, shh, you want them to release stink bombs? What do you want them to do? I guess rioting, man, is pretty good work if you can get it. We're finding out they're going to be getting some fat checks. $9.25 million to the rioters that claim they were injured by police while burning down the city. So it literally pays to riot now. Well, as long as it's for leftist causes. $9.25 million among 200 rioters. I think that came out, what did they say, like $27,000 each are going to get checks for? Isn't that just something? And also, you ready for this? Now, I know that there's a lot of long-lasting effects after you've been looting. You know, it's hard later on to think about the looting and the burning and the throwing rocks and bricks and stones at cops, right? So the city also said, we understand that, and we're compassionate. Here's $500,000.
Now, along with a settlement, the city has agreed to contribute $500,000 to a fund that will provide counseling to all West Philadelphia residents along the 52nd Street corridor. Mayor Kenney has also said that this is one step in the direction toward reconciliation and hopes that the settlement will provide healing from the harm experienced.
Harm experienced. $500,000 in counseling for people that lived in an area that Black Lives Matter activists went and burned down so they can process the trauma that the cops caused. These were anti-police riots. This mayor, oh boy, this is, I'm telling you, it's just getting a little closer to that old tipping point. He's throwing the entire police department under the bus and then backing up over them and then skidding out on them. Giving these anarchists another victory. They claim they were hurt by tear gas. Some of them claim they were hurt by zip ties. Zip ties. Well, you can't zip tie them. You can't shackle them in courtrooms. And they were hit by rubber bullets when they were looting. The crowd control measures that they used on them, they used them on them because they were literally burning down the city. Fire kills. And they're apologizing to the mob because the law enforcement actually did their job and prevented fire from being started, more fires started from people looting, breaking in, killing people's livelihoods. They were doing what they're actually paid to do. And Philadelphia is going to pay. Here's a bunch of money for the privilege of having destroyed our city. Thank you. Thank you. $9.25 million. They were rocking. They were destroying police cars. That's taxpayer funded, paid for police cars. So they destroyed something that the taxpayers paid for, and then to make it all right, they're going to take more taxpaying money and give it to the people that destroyed the police car. See what I mean by tipping point? Society can't go on like that. I saw the video there from Philadelphia. They were talking about they were trying to climb a hillside along the freeway, and police fired tear gas to get them out of there. It's not like they were right there, like right up their nostrils. And when you close down a freeway, what do you want them to do? I can't. I honestly, I can't believe that this actually is happening. I really can't.
Philadelphia now set to pay about $9 million to some 300 BLM protesters to settle lawsuits. The protesters accused police of inflicting physical and emotional injuries during the 2020 George Floyd-related unrest. And that settlement comes on the heels of New York announcing it, too, will settle with George Floyd protesters for between $4 and $6 million, also because of police actions during a BLM protest in the Bronx. That deal is waiting on court approval.
Wow, just literally staggering what's being allowed to happen. All based on race, and that's what it is, because systemic racism is in every law enforcement police department around America. That was the message after 2020, Summer of Rage or George Floyd and all of this. So now this is how that they can actually heal, right? Heal, like in San Francisco with the reparation plan that's going on, right? $5 million lump sum, elimination of all personal debt and tax burden. All right. Well, that sounds like, no. What? Oh, you got another idea? Okay, I like that. Guaranteed annual income of $97,000. Okay, is that for a year or for 250, okay, we'll write it down. Yeah, we'll throw it out there, 250 years, okay. Guaranteed income of $97,000 for 250 years. And, yeah, go ahead. Oh, we should buy him a house. All right, we'll give him a free house. What's that, attorney? We can't give free house. Okay, we'll make him pay a dollar. Okay, and the ability to purchase a home in San Francisco for only a dollar. We know homes in San Francisco are cheap. Hey, these days, maybe it's so bad, maybe you can find one for a buck. This can be for the low price of $600,000 per non-black family, or roughly $250 billion in total cost to taxpayers. So, all right, there you go. That's a, and they're actually taking this seriously. The race thing is just beyond. I don't get it. It's just, it's ugly. These are ugly people that are bringing all this forward. And remember, I was telling you about the local high school wanting a Latinx graduation in Fresno Unified School District focused on, and going, yeah, that'd be great. Let's have mariachis come out and let's have it all in Spanish so that grandma and great-grandma can understand because they don't speak English and this is what we need, right? Yeah, let's divvy it all up. Let's by race. It's happening all over the place. I can't, after the story here locally that I talked about earlier in the week here, I can't believe here at Michigan's Grand Valley State University is going to hold a separate, five separate graduation ceremonies segregated by race and your LGBTQ identity. They left off the plus. They'll be upset. So they're going to segregate their graduation ceremonies by race and sexuality because, well, it's everything woke, right? This is up in Michigan. They're going to celebrate. Let's see. What is it here? They're going to have an Asian graduation. And I thought I was being crazy the other day when I said, okay, Fresno Unified, here's what you're going to have to do. You're going to have an Asian. You're going to have black. You're going to have, I don't remember all the categories, Native American, right? You got to have that as well. Okay, so they're doing five up at this Grand Valley State University. Five segregated graduation celebrations. There's Asian, there's black, LGBT. They left off the Q and the plus. LGBTQIA plus. They left off some, but the LGBT, Hispanic, and Native American. They're all going to have their special segregated graduation celebration. So, all right, everybody's, oh, not everybody. Oh, no celebration for straight white people. They were left out. They were left out of it. I guess, what would they call that? Just the old-fashioned regular graduation will happen, right? Segregating people, having them graduate, white supremacy graduation, right? Domestic terrorist graduation, right? Come on, Al.
It's racist. Oh,
thank you. Segregating, having them graduate in ceremonies. You know what? That's what makes America what it's all about, where everybody looks exactly like you around you. That's what we're striving for. Yay! Everybody looks the same so we can all be comfortable in our Asian graduation and our black graduation and our Latino slash A slash X ceremony. I'm not making that up. I don't know what it is, but that's what they're saying. They're calling the LGBT, no QIA+, the lavender graduation. Lavender. Mm. Two snappies for the lavender. They said it'll have many gender and sex minorities. And yeah, the Native Americans, they'll get their special one. But yeah, you can blend. You can be Native American and lavender. You can be black lavender. You can be Asian lavender. You could go to two, I guess. Yeah, of course you could. Of course you could. But then again, no graduation for straight white people. They'll have to graduate without a ceremony. We will mail you your diploma in the mail. Good riddance. Goodbye. Done with you. Bye-bye. Get out. So I don't foresee, or I do foresee, a future here where you will have other racist stuff up and go. We want our own graduation. I remember it started at Fresno State a few years ago with the separate Hispanic graduation, right? Yeah, they've done it. Universities around California have done this. Many universities around California now have segregated dorms where it's segregated because white people aren't allowed. It's a person of color dorm or a person of color break room, safe space. Wait, isn't that just mean and cruel? It so is. Newsom's on a state tour. Handing your money out to transients who don't want to follow the rules. $1 billion out of curate there, Gavin. We'll come back and find out what Fresno Mayor Equity's plans are for the money here in Fresno. Oh, look at this. It could be coming to your neighborhood. Oh, you don't want homeless tiny homes in your neighborhood? Come on. Equity means we spread out the trash that's created by homelessness around the entire city. I'll tell you what they're planning for us next.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. You're listening to the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
What part of the Second Amendment do they not fully comprehend? We'll talk with Executive Director of Gun Owners of California, Sam Paredes, coming up bottom of the hour. Thaddeus Miller here, FresnoBee.com, talking about how Fresno has moved into the second stage to house the homeless that City Hall says has been successful. They project off-ramp. Remember all the people? Remember back during the lockdown living up on all the freeways looking like, you know, the move west and the depression from Oklahoma, grapes of wrath, right? Mayor said that they got them into hotels, got them off the streets, and 76% of those people had a safe exit, which they say went to live with family or found some kind of permanent housing, he said. How does one track that? I mean, seriously, after three attempts to try and get the trash picked up on Fryant next to our beautiful park up there, nothing. No, nobody will go pick up the trash. So you think the city's tracking these folks? When they, oh, Uncle Jim's here to get him, so they're good. Bye. And I hope they are. But 76% save. I would like to know how you track that. The mayor said he's 100% confident we're on the right path toward eliminating chronic homelessness in our city. No, because you're not talking about, they keep putting money at it and thinking if you put a roof over their head, that it, yes, people do need roofs over their head. But you got to change behavior. That needs to be the number one thing. And if they won't change the behavior, there needs to be punishment. We know that. And then you'll have the city officials go, well, we're not the king. We can't do it. Yeah, but you need to say it out loud. You need to say it to Newsom when he comes here. When he sends money down here, you need to say, thanks, that's going to maybe get some people, but hey, you're doing it the wrong way, right? You know the right way to do this is? Well, they're moving into the second phase. They're adding transform motels to other parts of the city. And they said they've traditionally only been found in downtown and the west side. And he said the first phase targeted the people on the freeways, but now they're going to start moving some of these around. The city owns 5 motels on Parkway Drive and all these areas. Now, here's the thing to listen to. And it's Council Member Miguel Arias. He said for several years that homeless services were too centered in District 3 and should be shared across the city. He wants to spread it. To spread it all out. And if I were a council member for my district, if I were the council member of District 3, I would be saying the exact same thing. I would. Because that a council member knows that it's not good for their district. I mean, to have all that there, I mean, just the disease aspect of it. To have where your kids can't even go down to certain areas of town. And we all know what it has done. And I would understand wanting to get it out of your district. He said, I'm sure we'll get some resistance from some people, but this is the right thing to do. It's a citywide crisis, requires a citywide solution. You know what? He's pulling Governor DeSantis. He's sending the illegals to Martha's Vineyard. Yeah, maybe people would understand that then. Well, I don't know. Which restaurant do you want to choose? Well, we hadn't been there in a while. Let's go over there. Drive. Nice part of town. Drive. What is that? Well, that's the homeless issue, the transient issue that's here in our city. That's what that is. And you just got Martha Vineyard by Miguel Arias, right? Make every district District 3. Then they'll realize that we got some issues and we got tragedies all around us. It's a tragedy. I feel like this can't go on. He's the executive director of Gun Owners of California, Sam Paredes. New California laws are restricting guns even further. I don't know what part.
Hollywood is under siege, covertly compromised by a global adversary. The same Hollywood that sold the American dream to the world is now making nightmares a reality. The American way of life is being censored by the Chinese Communist Party. Some films have scenes completely altered. Other films have lost their funding or been canceled altogether. Some actors have been banned from China for supporting human rights. Hollywood Takeover is a documentary brought to you by the Epoch Times, revealing how the CCP has infiltrated major movie studios. Join Chris Fenton, a former Hollywood executive, and Tiffany Meyer, an investigative news reporter, through their journey in exposing how the film industry gradually lost its integrity on its path to profits. Don't miss the most important documentary ever made about Hollywood. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes, available for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free. That's HollywoodTakeover.com/free.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The Second Amendment they just don't understand. We'll talk to Mr. Paredes next.
The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
It's an ongoing defense that many out there fight full time. He's one of those. He's the executive director, Gun Owners of California, Sam Paredes. Sam, welcome back. How are you, sir?
Man, it's always a pleasure to be with you. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I probably asked you before, what part of the state do you reside in?
I reside in El Dorado County near Placerville, about a quarter of the way up to Lake Tahoe from Sacramento.
Okay, what's the snow been like up that way?
We're below it? Foothills, but we're just below it. But it's been pretty epic. I spoke up in the Nevada County Sportsman Association yesterday, and they still had snow on the ground. You know, up in Grass Valley and Nevada City, and it's been pretty amazing.
Well, it's second now. We're the second snowiest ever since they've been keeping records for 70-plus years. Did you get a little dusting? There were people in Clovis here that got a dusting a few weeks ago.
No, we definitely got a dusting. It was kind of cool. We went out and took pictures, and it's the kind of snow that I like. It falls, it looks beautiful, and then it goes away.
That's right. You don't have to drive in it. And we don't have snow plows in some of these areas. We're not used to this.
Yeah, we've gone
from drought to tomorrow, my guess, is our Fresno County Farm Bureau, the CEO, and we called it emergency drought broadcast every time he was on. Now we're having to twist it to emergency flood broadcast. What's going on down in Tulare County? These levees are breaking.
Yeah, you know, it's pretty funny. Just when our government tells us that we're in a drought, and then God has a different opinion on things and just says, watch what I'm going to do, and then he does it. So we're having fun.
And he left the spigot on and turned around and handled something else. He didn't turn it off. It's still coming down, right? More on the way. And we know in California that more is on the way to fight against the Second Amendment. And, Sam, I still don't know what part they don't fully comprehend. Talk about what this judge here said. Californians have the constitutional right to use state-of-the-art handguns for self-defense, how they've been fighting
that. This Judge Carmack, he ruled that California's roster that requires a loaded chamber indicator, a magazine disconnect, and micro stamping in order to be approved for sale in the state of California is unconstitutional. And the bottom line is that the roster of approved guns in California is a, for all intents and purposes, a handgun ban. And Heller, McDonald, Caetano, and Bruin basically said that anything that is in popular use for legal purposes by the people is protected by the Second Amendment. So all of the guns that have been, that we in California have not been able to have for all these years are protected by the Second Amendment, and we are working our way to kicking the floodgates open and again creating a situation where lawful citizens can buy any handgun they want, period, without the government giving them permission.
So, Sam, what was going to happen here? I want to go back to the three things you listed there: chamber load indicator, magazine disconnect mechanism, and a micro stamping requirement. When I got a handgun last year, the chamber load indicator, that would have been when you're locked and loaded. They were going to sell me one, had a little red light on it to let me know, okay, there's a bullet in the chamber, and it was more expensive, and I chose not to get it. I'm thinking, I'll know when I do that.
Yeah, of course you will. Of course you will. Like all of them do. The government doesn't understand what loaded chamber indicators were designed for. They were designed to give a tactile feeling for law enforcement officers when they're working in low light conditions. They can actually, because they can't press check their gun to see if it's loaded. So they had this little knob or little button that stuck out or something like that for them to do that. Well, the government says, well, we need to have one of those so that, Joe Smith's great grandmother can look at it and say, that's a loaded gun. And in fact, that wasn't what they were designed for. And they're lipstick on a pig, man.
What is a magazine disconnect mechanism?
The magazine disconnect is another device that is incorporated into only some semi-automatic handguns, that when you drop the magazine, whether it comes all of the way out the well or you take it all the way out, even if there's a round in the chamber, the gun won't function. And the fact of the matter is that a lot of law enforcement agencies who buy guns for their officers that have this feature, they disconnect them because it puts them at a tactical disadvantage. If a police officer, or you and I as lawful citizens who should have the same rights as police officers, if we were in a situation where we had to drop a magazine to do a tactical reload and the danger was upon us, we should have the ability to pull that, press that trigger and fire that round even though a magazine isn't in it. So that's a wisdom of popper doohick gizmo that inside the gun that turns the gun into a rock when the magazine is out.
Good point. What now, how do they fight back against that? What do they say is the unsafe ability if the magazine comes out for any reason, or if you choose to, that there's, oh, you'll forget about it and leave that bullet in there and somebody will look and go, oh, that's not a loaded gun.
Yeah, press the trigger and it'll go boom, when in fact that situation rarely happens across the nation, number one, because the vast majority of all gun owners are extremely safe with their firearms, and they don't leave a gun in a condition where somebody who should not have access to it can grab it and accidentally fire off a round, not knowing what all of the steps for firearm safety include, and where they would press check or pull the slide to see if it's loaded before they were to manipulate the gun. Some people who want a magazine disconnect for safety because they might have kids in the home or something, God bless them. Go ahead and get a gun that has one. But for those who don't want one of those things, they have the right to say, I don't want it, and I'm not going to buy a gun that has that kind of a mechanism on it. And it's my right to do so. So That's that.
Sam, and what's the micro-stamping?
So, in California, we have a law that says that all new semi-automatic guns that are added to the list have to have this feature so that when the firing pin hits the primer on a cartridge, that it imprints the make, model, and serial number in microscopic characters on the case so that when law enforcement comes and investigates an illegal shooting, they can pick up the cases, take it to their $300,000 micron microscope, and read the make, model, and serial number on the bottom of a case. No one in the world uses this technology. The inventor of the technology has abandoned it and said it's not ready for prime time, but it is the law here in the state of California because the legislature bought a bill of goods that this was going to help law enforcement to track, crime guns and stuff like that, when in fact it isn't illegal. If you had a gun that had micro-stamping, it's not illegal for you to replace the firing pin or to take my wife's fingernail file, take a few scrapes off the tip of the firing pin, and the microscopic imprints would disappear. So that's not illegal, which doesn't make sense. But in fact, this judge in the California Central Court, Southern District, federal court, said that since there are no guns in the world, they do not exist, that have the loaded chamber indicator, the magazine disconnect, and micro stamping, and it prevents any other new guns from being added to the roster of approved handguns, this act is unconstitutional. So what would happen is that he gave it he said my ruling goes into effect in 14 days to give the state the opportunity to appeal to the Ninth Circuit for a stay of this ruling. Well, they're going to appeal it. We know they are. But the fact is, the judge's ruling was rock solid. And I would guess there's another case, Rena v. Bonta, which is going to get rid of the rest of the roster of approved handguns, and Californians will be able to buy any handgun they want, just like the rest of America, very soon.
Sam Paredes, Executive Director of Gun Owners of California. Sam, if this U.S. District Judge hadn't granted this injunction, every new gun that would have been sold would have had to have this, and what about, would the guns prior to it been grandfathered in and still legal, I would assume?
That is, you're correct. That's why you and I are still carrying around Colt 1911s that were made in 1965, because they were grandfathered in. They don't have any of the features. As a matter of fact, your 1911 design cannot even be manufactured in a way to include a magazine disconnector. The design does not lend itself to a feature like that. But when like Smith and Wesson, they used to bore holes in the top of the slide and the chamber so that you can actually look to see if there's a round in there. That didn't qualify. You could look and say, hey, there's a round in the chamber, but that didn't qualify as a loaded chamber indicator for the state of California. So it's a mess. It's a disaster. The court said it is unconstitutional, and certainly the next step happens within 2 weeks. And before this year is out, the roster will vaporize and we'll be able to buy whatever handgun we want.
Well, I don't have a Colt, but we are 9 months from Christmas. You can just keep that in mind there, Sam, all right? Hey, I want to go back to the micro stamp, yeah, because there'll be some, yeah, people that'll say, well, short of a revolutionary war, and that's why the Founding Fathers put the Second Amendment in there, it shall not be infringed upon because of a tyrannical government. That's hardly ever talked about. But short of that happening, what would be the holdback to a law-abiding Second Amendment supporter to go, yeah, there are bad people that use ammunition and kill people? I don't, so I don't mind the government looking at the micro stamping to go ahead and trace it back and find them quicker, the bad guys.
So what's going to happen is that somebody's going to steal your gun, use it in the commission of a crime, and then they're going to come back to you because you were the last legal owner. That's going to cost you a lawyer. It's going to cost you time in court to prove yourself that you were innocent. And if you didn't report that your gun was stolen because the government says you should have known within 24 hours whenever one of your guns is stolen, then you're in violation of another California law, so you're going to be in deep trouble. And so let's say what happens gangbanger, goes out and jumps a bunch of rounds, and out of a stolen gun, picks up the cases, goes to the local police range or to another shooting and scatters those cases out into the ground.
Oh, wow, yeah.
It will cause all kinds of problems. And the fact of the matter is that ammunition tracing and registration are a wholly ineffective tool for solving crimes. As a matter of fact, New York had a system where they didn't use micro-stamping, but they required every gun that was sold to be shot and one of the bullets recovered and a case recovered so that they can trace what gun that case and bullet came from. Well, that was a multi-million dollar system that they set up, and after a couple of years, they realized they didn't solve a single crime, so they dumped the system. And so this is, Trevor, the reason they want to do this is to make it more difficult, if not impossible, for us to buy new guns. They don't care about the technology. They know it doesn't work. They know that the inventor of the technology abandoned it, and they know that there isn't a gun company in the world who would use micro-stamping technology in their guns, because what would happen if a manufacturer accidentally put the wrong serial-numbered firing pin in a gun? And it's used in an accident or it's used in commission of a crime, that gun company would be sued out of existence for making a simple mistake like putting the wrong firing pin into a gun.
And so, just like the gun laws that are in place, we know the bad guys don't follow it, so they just make their own ammo, right? I mean, you can make the homemade guns. They call them ghost guns, which I don't call it that anymore, homemade guns. Yeah. Homemade ammo.
Yep. Yeah. So it is the purpose, the real... You know, behind the curtain purpose for micro-stamping has nothing to do with solving crimes. It has everything to do with making it impossible for Californians to buy, whatever handgun they want.
Well, I knew you would explain it, and I knew when I got done with the interview, I would understand what all happened. Sam, tell all the gun Second Amendment lovers out there how to get involved with your organization here.
If you want to be at the tip of the spear in fighting for all of the lawsuits that deal with everything, bump stocks, arm braces, loaded chamber indicators, magazine disconnects, everything you can think about, 10-day waiting periods, assault weapons, support Gun Owners of California, gunownersca.com. Go to our website. We are involved in virtually every lawsuit across the country that is working to restore the Second Amendment to what it should be, an amendment that shall not be infringed. So gunownersca.com, call us at 916-984-1400. Come to one of our events. You can go to our website, one of our dinners, one of our shoots, and you'll be fighting for your own right to keep and bear arms and buy whatever gun you want.
Amen. Any gun you want. And Sam, my Christmas gift, I'd like a white ivory handle, please. White ivory.
There you go. There you go. We will also work to re-legalize ivory. You know, I wonder what they've done with all of those pianos and organs in all of the churches that have ivory handles, ivory keys, because they're all illegal.
Forgot the ivory. You're right. That's illegal, too.
It is.
We'll keep it on the down low. Thank you, Sam Paredes.
All right, brother.
God bless you, sir. You betcha. Wow, you're not going to believe what some teachers actually think the pecking order is with parents when it comes to their authority. It'll shock you. And not much shocks these days, but this will shock you next.
The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk. You're listening to The Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
I want you to hear this Georgia State Legislature, who sent her kids to private school, of course, don't give money to the stupid parents because they want to give $6,000 where they could put to their education. She's saying that's not enough for private school. Don't give it to the stupid parents. How dare her, right? Listen to the audacity of this. This is the Democrat Party, guys.
I see access as a problem. I see parents being able to direct their child's education, and they are already in the lower 25 percentile, meaning a lot of those parents did not finish high school and could not finish their own education. I am extremely concerned that we would put money in their hands and that entire piece of life in the hands of parents who are not qualified to make those decisions, and they don't have the money to put in the difference that their child would need to attend a private school if there were one in there already in their region.
Oh, how dare you, smarty pants. They're talking about a scholarship to get $6,000 to use toward education expenses for those that are in the lowest 25% of underperforming schools. And this representative, Lydia Glaze, Lydia, saying that those parents just are not smart enough to make those qualified decisions, right? But, you know, her kids went to private school, right?
I am for private schools. All of my children graduated from private schools, but I am not for them if we take public school dollars and use them for private schools. We paid for it, and we were able to.
Yeah, you said all your kids are private school, but you oppose school choice for low-income families. That doesn't make sense. Listen to this, Arizona teacher, speaking from the heart.
I have a master's degree because when I got certified, I was told I had to have a master's degree to be an Arizona certified teacher. We all have advanced degrees. What do the parents have? Are we vetting the backgrounds of our parents? Are we allowing the parents to choose the curriculum and the books that our children are going to read? I think that it's a mistake. I'm just speaking from the heart. The one line that I love is, we must remember that the purpose of public education is not to teach only what parents want their children to be taught. It is to teach them what society needs them to be taught.
What society needs them to be taught.
We all have advanced degrees.
Well, aren't you just something else? It's the parents, lady.
What do the parents have? Are we vetting the backgrounds of our parents?
No, but we need to vet the backgrounds of these wacko commie teachers that are out there that think they know better than the parents know. Just like the state of California thinks they know better than possibly red conservative states that have their own laws. The state of California thinks they control America, right? Now they're going to allow doctors here to mail the abortion pill to red states. And if you kidnap a transgender kid, you can't be extradited. This is what the state is focused on. We'll dig into it next.
You are being influenced. If you've watched any blockbuster film in the last decade, then chances are that it's been influenced by the Chinese Communist Party. Here's the reality. The CCP is running the largest influence campaign in history. In Hollywood Takeover, brought to you by the Epoch Times, investigative reporter Tiffany Meyer reveals how the CCP has infiltrated major studios. For a limited time, watch the first 10 minutes for free on HollywoodTakeover.com/free.